This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It was funny. I'm putting myself on blast here a little bit, but I drive a Subaru, you know, so the guys always make fun of me for what I drive. And Curtis is like, congrats, man. Now you're going to get yourself another car, you know. So I actually don't think I want to get rid of it. Maybe just drive something else in here every now and then just so Curtis sees and he doesn't make any more jokes, you know. But yeah, we'll see. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I feel some sort of way towards it. It's got the tinted windows, just a normal white Subaru with tinted windows. And I think it looks pretty crazy, but I love it. So we'll see.
Khalil Shakir at his press conference yesterday. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. A warm-up Tuesday, flooding in the area expected. And Shakir talking yesterday about his new extension. The Sabres lost in overtime last night. We spent a lot of time in the first hour talking about that. And if you want to throw something our way, I'd be happy to have it. Lindy Ruff joining us at 8 o'clock. Shakir, I think Shakir is a Subaru.
He's a Subaru?
Yeah.
He's not a sports car or he's not definitely not a truck.
No. And Subaru owners love their Subarus.
Yep. That's me.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
I think he's a Subaru. Which leads to
versatile, right?
Reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Does the job.
Yeah.
Performs beyond expectations.
Consistent is a word that might come to mind.
Yeah, sure.
For Shakir.
Which, of course, leads to the question, what are the other Bills pass catchers as vehicles?
Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
So
I think they don't have a Ferrari.
No.
So
that's right.
We can't go there. From last year, for instance, like so. What Amari Cooper is a, you know,
I don't know what Amari Cooper is.
He's like an 07 Corvette, right?
Yeah.
You see him on the road, and you're like, "Oh, it's a Corvette." Yeah, that's an older Corvette, though. I think over there
probably doesn't have the technology.
Remember the Corvettes that had the headlights that would flip open.
Oh yeah,
but they were closed all other times of the day.
Yeah,
that's Cooper.
My first car had those headlights. It was not a Corvette.
They flip up.
Yeah, they popped up. It was a Dodge Daytona.
Okay,
those headlights popped up and then went back down.
Okay, yeah, that's Cooper.
All right.
Once upon a time, like, that was a sharp car. Now, it's still a sharp car, just, you know, not the wow factor isn't there anymore.
Mac Hollins is one of those Jeeps without the doors on it.
Yes.
Useful.
100%.
Rugged. Maybe not perfect in all conditions, but, you all know, right. It looks cool. People seem to like it. People want to get to know it. I'm like, look at that. The Jeep's got no doors on it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Like a Keon Coleman being like a Cybertruck. It looks cool. You think it's going to do the job, and then it just doesn't.
I don't really know much about them.
They get stuck all the time.
I don't think they look cool. I think Keon's a muscle car. I think he's like a...
The chat thinks he's a fan boat.
A fan boat.
Like a bayou boat with the big fan on the back.
Okay. That's also not a, that's not a car.
Is that because they
a vehicle.
They get high speed, but that's they don't turn very well. I don't know. I'm just guessing why they say fan boat. Anyway, Shakir, Subaru.
Okay.
It's fair. T. Higgins in the news. He got franchise tagged. And the Bengals.
Yeah.
The Bengals, the story on them is. So
they released a lineman. There might be, Mike Hilton thinks he might be about to get released.
Yep.
Good defensive player of theirs.
The Bengals say that they have the, quote, intent. Whoever said this. Yeah. The intent of continuing to work toward a long-term deal with Higgins.
Okay.
You want to do a few minutes on receivers here? Because I've.
Sure.
I keep arriving at a point. I think that there is receiver fatigue, but we should fight against that for this very reason. So Higgins is franchise tagged. The next best free agent receiver on the market is Chris Godwin. I think he's going to stay in Tampa. And then after that, you're at Hollywood Brown and Diggs. And
Cooper.
Cooper.
Cooper. Cooper's, like, one reason he might be gone more than just the Bills think they can maybe upgrade from him, is if you're a receiver needy team, if you're New England or whoever, like, I think if you watched him last year, you would easily get to, okay, this guy's not the same. But is a team going to go, well, you know, there's not much. This guy had 1,200 yards 14 months ago. Let's do that. Let's give him $12 million a year. Like, I could see Cooper getting overpaid by somebody on the name and the recent success of what he had 2-3 years ago. So, like, he gets paid, I think, something reasonable. And then you're at, like, secondary receivers, like, pretty quickly.
Yep.
Keenan Allen, Darius Slayton, Elijah Moore, Mike Williams, Nelson Aguilar, Josh Palmer, who we had as one of our free agent ideas of the day. I mean, the list gets thin. Tim Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do that? Trent Sherfield is on a list. Trent Sherfield's name being on a list that I pulled up at Sharp Football Analysis should tell you all you need to know about the receiver market. That it's going to be really bad. Deontay Johnson, someone convinced them to try that on?
That's tough. Yeah, like the
everyone's got baggage.
The Metcalf trade idea is probably the best idea for what they could do. It's their best idea. I don't know if it's the only good idea. Drafting one.
Well, the name not on this list that I think the second he gets released is going to be the number one name on this list is Davante Adams.
Okay.
Davante Adams is a better player than, maybe you could argue Godwin when healthy is better, but Godwin's coming off a major knee injury. So the second Adams becomes available, he shoots to the top of this list. He's the best free agent receiver when he becomes available.
And I was thinking about it this way, just on the receiver point, they are... We're kind of all assuming Mac Hollins is back. He is not re-signed, but let's just kind of assume that he is. Everybody loves Mac Hollins, and he'll be back. And as soon as they sign Mac Hollins, they will have the exact receiver core they did before they traded for Cooper. And when they traded for Cooper, it was desperation.
Yeah.
In the good way. They were very desperate. They made a move, and it helped them. Now, re-sign Mac Hollins. It's no longer... Week 5, who can we get?
Mm-hmm.
Trade for Mac Hollins. Or sorry, trade for Amari Cooper. Instead of that, it's we are the same level of desperate. We know what this looks like without Cooper. And while he didn't put up numbers, there's Bean talking about his lack of production, saying, well, when he was in, Cooper was in, we scored 7 more points per game. Like, okay, then you're going to need somebody over there. And you've made shrewd decisions on lots of players over the years. And Cooper, I would think, would be one to be shrewd on, especially because he's a guy you rented for a half a season
mm-hmm.
or 3/4 of a season. So they'll be as desperate as they were, and they'll have a lot more options and a lot more to spend on it, whether that's money, draft capital, whatever. Which brings me to Adams. He'll get released because no one's going to pay that cap hit that he's due.
Right.
He'll get released, and then it'll be... The Bills aren't we going to get the Bills are interested in Davante Adams? What would stop them? What would stop them is the idea that they don't want that type of guy again. How could you? I mean,
but don't we think they wanted him 5 months ago?
Yeah.
3 months ago, however long ago that was.
The day before they traded for Cooper? Yeah.
Yeah, I think they already wanted him. So, I don't know. I think, I don't know how different acquiring Cooper was, other than Cooper just wasn't as good as you might have thought. You know, like, I'm sure they wanted Cooper to put up more production than he did. And then, like, okay, then I have all the confirmation I need that they wanted a guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and got one. It just didn't go. He got a wrist injury, and he didn't play all the snaps, and that's just how it went. But I feel like they were in on Adams right to the very end of that. It lines up with the fact they traded for Cooper the minute after it happened. So, you know what would stop it is if they think they can get Garrett, right? If they think that there's something else out there that, because they have more space than they did last year, but they're still over the cap. They got to pull those levers to create all the space. So, they're going to want to add assets on defense, right? So what would stop them is, well, we want to pay Khalil Mack, and we want to pay this corner, and maybe we want to talk to Javon Holland. You know, maybe we want to do all these things on defense, and we want to divest our capital there. That'll make us less likely to go all out to get Davante Adams, who's going to want something. You know, he's not going to get $35 million a year. But is he going to go to a team like, I want 20? I don't really know what Adams' market might be, honestly. He's kind of a weird one because of his age.
Sure, but...
But he's still very good.
And not only very good, but still good. But if he's the number one option on the market, then that's going to be in the 20s.
Right. Right. So, I don't know. Like, one part of Adams last year that would be different is... So, looking at his SpotTrack page... This was true of Cooper, too. When you traded for him, his cap hit was really low because the Raiders had already paid for signing bonuses, right? And so when the Jets acquire him, what did he cost them on their cap for 11 games? $3.2 million. That's another big difference.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting him this year for $3.2 million on your cap, right? Like, you're getting him for 15 on your cap, probably. So that could be another difference. I think they like the player. I wonder if they think it fits into their offseason plans more than it would have in the off during the season.
It is a tough line for Bean to walk, right? In terms of what do you pursue the most aggressively? Andrew Filippone from Pittsburgh, former WGR host colleague, he was texting me yesterday asking me about do you think the Bills will go for Myles Garrett? I'll ask you the questions he asked me. You tell me how.
Okay.
He said, you think the Bills, there's any way they trade for Garrett?
Yes.
Yeah, so I wrote back, I think they'll absolutely try.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Will Cleveland trade him? I don't know. Will someone come up with a better package? I don't know. He asked what I thought they'd give up. I have no idea.
Multiple firsts.
Yeah, it's tough to know that one.
But, yeah.
But I think they would pay the price. Then he asked, what about Khalil Mack?
Definitely. Sure.
Yep. Definitely. Plays a lot. Still a difference maker. Not Myles Garrett, but yes.
Yep.
Yes. And then it was, would they give up a first for Metcalf? Like, he's just firing questions at me.
Wow, yeah.
To which I said, yes. I think they would.
Yes.
I think
yes.
They would.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's the 30th pick. Would you give up next year's first? How about that one? You want to get your defensive
end? Next year's first for Metcalf?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they would. I think they would. They want speed, right?
Mm-hmm.
They say they want speed. So this would be, all right, here you go. This guy is big and fast, even.
I have yet to see anything that convinces me that Seattle would want to trade Metcalf.
I know.
Why would they want to do it? The coach is in his second season.
Okay, so go ahead. Go ahead.
Is he about to get a big new contract? Is that it?
I think the only reason to check in with them or to make an offer. Because didn't you point out, didn't the coach or was it the offensive coordinator?
The offensive coordinator got the job in part, and all the coordinators were asked, what will you do to maximize DK Metcalf? And the guy that got the job,
right,
according to the head coach, had the best answer.
Okay. So the coaching staff, the organization, if I could put them over here and say they don't want to get rid of Metcalf, then the only thing that I can have happen that would jar him loose and get it to where, like, we could talk about the trade idea of Bean or someone else. You know, the Packers have already made one, I guess, but you can make a trade offer. Is I need Metcalf to kind of ice out the Seahawks. That doesn't even have to mean like demand a trade or, you know, make it ugly. Just not sign. He's got 1 year left on his contract. I need him to make him available as an idea for the Bills. I need Metcalf to make the Seahawks think he's not going to stay.
Yeah,
because he's got 1 year left on his contract.
And his cap hit this year is $31 million.
Huge.
So
that's a huge number.
You are at...
They're going to want that lower.
You're at redo the deal. His... Yeah.
So they might have a decision. Even if they restructure and like there's void years and stuff, right? So can they like... I don't know. You can't really extend him without getting him to agree. You can restructure, but you can't extend him without him getting to agree to it. So if I'm Seattle, I probably want him to extend this summer. And if he's not willing to do that, then that's maybe when the trade door opens up. But I need that to happen. I need Metcalf to say, I don't want to play Geno Smith anymore. You know, I want to go somewhere out east, and I want to play with a top quarterback. Yeah. I need that to happen.
He is 27, Metcalf.
Okay.
That's not bad, right?
No, that's
he's 27.
That's fine.
He turns 28 in December, so call this his age 27 season coming up.
He is a man beater.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, a man beater and a press beater. He beats press coverage, he beats man coverage.
Beats press coverage, he's down the field.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's kind of exactly the type of player the Bills need in the receiver room. He's pretty good. He's not like first ballot Hall of Famer like his workout picture before the NFL kind of imposed, but
not yet he's not.
He's very good.
Get him with Josh Allen for a couple of years. That should be a pitch.
Yeah, that's right.
Shouldn't it? Hey, you want to make the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, right.
But again, I still don't understand why they would trade him.
Yeah, it's just got to be they don't think he'd stay.
Yeah.
And is there any smoke on that? The most there is Schefter tweeted at the trade deadline that Metcalf isn't getting moved today.
Right.
And everybody went, what? Was he supposed to? And nobody knew why that had happened. So maybe Schefter had heard something about Metcalf in a trade at last deadline.
Should we completely eliminate T. Higgins from conversation? Cincinnati is a different team. They franchised him with the intent of working towards a long-term deal. Here's the thing about T. Higgins. If they don't trade him, he leaves next year, and you lose him for nothing. You basically get 1 year of running it back with Burrow, Chase, and Higgins, which you could do, mm-hmm. and then next year he becomes a wide-open free agent where he's going to hit for $30 million and go wherever he wants. And you get a compensatory pick is what they'll get.
Right.
Would you instead, if you're Cincinnati, trade him for a first? Should the Bills trade a first for T. Higgins?
Yes. Yes. If I said yes on Metcalf, I think you got to say yes on Higgins, right? Higgins is younger, isn't he? 26, 1 year younger. So similar age. Yeah, you would trade a first for Higgins if you were willing to do it for Metcalf. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do with them, though, because... like, they're releasing guys to make room for tagging him. So, that shows a level of commitment to keeping him. But this is where the Bengals just... this is where they kind of earn their reputation a little bit. Where they're doing business differently. The punishment of tagging him versus, like, the Bills who just get right to extending guys that are worth it is when you extend guys, you're creating your room... in the short term, the Bengals are doing the opposite. They couldn't be paying him more this season than with him being on the tag. Any extension, it would be cheaper for them. And then maybe they would have been able to keep Mike Hilton or the lineman that they released the other day.
Alex Kappa.
So they're releasing guys to sign him. I want to think that they'll sign him.
Well,
how long has it been? Oh, when's the first time that T. Higgins' contract was a question? Was it 3 years ago?
Oh, sure. I mean, going into the final year of a deal, extension. Franchise tagged him once, no extension. Franchise tagged a second time.
So we're still sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to evaluate them differently than any other team in the league. And so that makes it tough to predict. There was the report the other day that they and Jamar Chase are still nowhere near close on an extension. Like, I don't know if I want to trust them to pay any of these guys.
One quick note on Higgins. For the Bills, as an idea, sometimes you want to think about the cap. Sometimes you want to think about culture fit. Sometimes you want to think about scheme fit. One thing about Higgins, I've got this from Matt Harmon at Reception Perception. So he's an outside guy. We know that.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot of stuff in the slot really at all. But he is versatile on the outside. He'll both be the X and the Z. He'll play on the line and off the line.
Yeah.
So when I see versatility, don't you think Joe Brady wants – they need a guy that beats man coverage and probably a guy that they would feel comfortable moving around to do it because they like to move their pieces. They like to – whatever, mix and match. And, I mean, Cooper, when he got traded for, he did not get a lot of snaps because other guys get mixed in. It's the everybody eats blah, blah, blah. And I just wonder about Higgins, like that – outside versatility. Matt Harmon refers to him as an A-tier asset at all three positions that receivers play.
Wow.
So there's versatility.
It's high praise.
It is. It is. He's not elite like Metcalf is in beating man coverage.
Yeah.
But he, again, he does other things.
He'd be the best on the Bills.
Well, all this drives home how difficult it really is to find one of these guys where, you know, last year in the draft, it was a packed class, and they go with Coleman. Mm-hmm. We'll see what he becomes. You know, Jacksonville gets Brian Thomas Jr., and there's Ricky Pearsall, Ladd McConkey. The Bills probably would have been better off to take two so they could have more options here. It's really tough to ultimately find a guy that does it all. And, you know, you can get by without one. The Bills did pretty well with that last year.
And they probably in most outcomes are not going to have one this offseason.
No, I think that's probably right.
They're not going to get one.
I almost want to temper the receiver train this year because we're going to run it again next year.
Yeah.
And it's probably going
to... You take a break this year. There's nothing... There's not a lot out there that really fits the profile.
It's not a great year for it. Unless, you know, they make some sort of bold move in the draft and they identify someone they really love.
Dare I look at what next year's receiver class looks like?
Free agents?
Well, I mean, Metcalf is the one on the list.
That's right. But a lot of these guys get signed. A lot of them do.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We're getting some juicy stuff starting. You read the report and the update about the Browns are dug in on Myles Garrett, that they're not going to trade him, which that's I don't know how tough that is for Bean. It really is starting to sound like Ayuk from last year, where here are the Niners a year later, open to trading him again, off an ACL injury, after paying him.
Yeah. And just trading their other top receiver.
Yeah. So they have Ricky Pearsall, who's a nice young player. We'll see what that becomes. And, you know, the Niners probably expect to be good. They almost always expect to be good. But they're going to build around Brock Purdy and maybe dump Brandon Ayuk in the process. So the Ayuk idea, I for the Niners, they had potential trades worked out last year that Ayuk said, no thanks, he wasn't going to sign an extension. Maybe they could have traded him somewhere else earlier in the process, but they represented that they weren't going to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
So is that not the Browns with Garrett? You're limiting your options because you're saying you're not going to trade him. Get into the year, you're bad again. Now he's closer to free agency. I don't know what the Browns are proving to anybody by keeping him. I guess just that they won't be pushed around by a player. Okay.
I guess.
Good luck. And if you're Bean, this is where it's similar to Brandon Ayuk for me, Joe, is last year I would have absolutely been pounding the table from the trade for Ayuk, and at some point you have to give up. Like, okay, if you're not going to move him, I'm going to go on to plan B.
Mm-hmm.
In the Garrett move, what's plan B? Is there an auxiliary plan? It doesn't even have to be defensive end. If the Bills or this is kind of what I'm getting at about like chasing that bet. If Bean and the Bills got really into the idea of let's spend what it takes to get a freak show stud.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, that guy's not on the market anymore. Okay, who is? Like, I came to the casino with some money.
Yeah.
That table's closed? Okay, well, I got myself in the mindset, where can I spend it? And, you know, you don't want it to be a bad spend, but what's next? Is that DK Metcalf? Is that an Ayuk idea? Is it a defender? Is it trade for Max Crosby?
Jonathan Allen, maybe. A safety.
Khalil Mack, Javon Holland.
Jair Alexander. I don't think that's the name, but
I was ready to play at the big table this offseason and ready to – I'm still going to submit an offer to the Browns. You've got all these NFL insiders thinking the Bills are going to make an offer. The Bills are going to pursue Garrett. And if that gets shut down, I don't think it just becomes, all right, we'll stand down back to your pedestrian offseason. What's next?
And do you believe he will become available? How much do you believe that Garrett is going to work his way out? Because if you think, well, I think he's going to get available by the summer, do I want to save this pocket of space, this lever to pull, in case that happens in June? Andrew Berry's willing to play ball now. Do I have the ability? Have I saved myself the ability to still be in on that then? And that might be hard to believe because aren't you going to just do all you can now? Aren't you going to go sign, if you can sign Khalil Mack and then do two other things on top of it, do you not do one of those things because you think there's still a chance that Garrett's going to get traded? Because how long do you wait, I guess, is really like the question that I would have for Bean in like an honest moment. Like, how long do you wait? How do you just save it no matter what because you think that player is worth it? That player is worth the risk. And the risk of getting him on this team is going to do more for, you know, thinking about like Moneyball and like, well, in the aggregate, actually, the potential of getting Garrett is better for your Super Bowl odds than grabbing blank.
Right.
You know, Darius Slayton in free agency and giving him $8 million. Like, let me save that for the summer.
I guess, isn't the only thing that could shut them off to it the cap space? Because you need the cap space to acquire him the day you acquire him.
Right.
And then you just extend. And last year, they could not have made big moves. Ayuk was an example of this. Ayuk would have been a $14 million cap hit.
You couldn't restructure before he...
Right.
Yeah.
They didn't have the room.
That's right.
So they couldn't trade for Ayuk without restructuring and opening up that room before making that move. So if the Browns are stubborn on this and we get to June, well, draft capital's out the window, so I don't have to worry about that. Oh, you wanted draft picks? All right, well, now you can have next year's draft picks because we already went to the draft. Now I'm on a cap space. Do I have the cap space to do it? Sure. I can keep, I don't know what his actual cap it is, but if the Bills can keep that amount free or wait to restructure, I mean, we might get to June and they've not yet restructured Josh Allen or redone Josh Allen's deal. And then you give him a ring. Mm-hmm. Hey, Josh, it's time to get to work on this thing because we need to create room for Myles Garrett. Okay. Bing, bang, boom. Oh, the Bills opened $40 million in cap space. So yeah.
That's $19.8 million is what you're getting the day you trade for.
So you have to have 19 to keep it open.
Yeah.
That's going to be the number. The Bills, of course, are over right now, but they've got a number of deals they can redo.
Yep.
So
it's tougher.
Right. But Allen's the number one piece to fall there. If the Bills redo Josh Allen, if they sign Rousseau to an extension, if they cut Vaughn or restructure Vaughn, like there's plenty of money to be saved in there. That's the thing. They just got to keep that 19 number open or else it gets shut down.
This is where I want to think the Browns are just gesturing. Let me puff my chest out. Like, you're not going to push us around. No, you're not getting Garrett for cheap just because he wants to go. Like, we're gonna play hardball right up until the draft when they just move him. Because think about like what we just went through with the Bills. If Garrett just isn't available, then you go and do stuff, and you got to have $19.8 million available. What are the odds that you get past the NFL draft and the Bills are going to have a day where they have $19.8 million available on their cap? If you're the Browns, like, oh, here's the Bills and the Eagles, and like they might be the two most aggressive teams out there to go get them. That's what Jeremy Fowler is saying. They might be the two most aggressive teams to get them. You just want to let those two bidders just go? You want to let your two just most aggressive bidders, like, just go ahead, go do your stuff.
Yep.
I'll let you check out of this so that when I trade him, oh, the two teams that might have bid the most are just gone. Because they've gone and done other stuff. Like, that's why it just doesn't make sense to me the Browns would. It makes sense they play hardball now, but not within the next 2 months. Like, at some point within the next 2 months, I have to believe that they're going to start talking to teams. Unless they truly just believe that they just don't have to do anything. That they can just, hey, you're going to play this season. If we're still doing this song and dance next year, we'll trade you then. But there's no circumstance. They could really draw a line in the sand and say there's no circumstance where we trade you this year.
And I guess you hope.
Because it's 2 years in the contract, now one.
That's right. That you can draft a rookie and he comes in and you're good. And Garrett drops his complaint because now he thinks he can win. Because he's not, it's not a, I don't want to be, this is a fine thing to split. It's not, I hate your organization, I hate your stupid face, I got to get out of here. It's, I just don't think you're very good and I want to win. And
he's telling the Browns he thinks they stink.
Right. He wrote, thank you, Cleveland. I love you, Cleveland. I don't hate you, Cleveland. I just want something else for my life. You know, these GMs in this spot usually get the gift of saying the guy hates it here or doesn't want to be here. And then they can turn the fans on that guy. And that might be tough because Garrett didn't say bad things. He just doesn't think the football team is very good and thinks they're probably stuck for a while, which might be true. Of course, the thing that gets them out of that pretty quickly is hit it on a quarterback, and they draft second, so they'll have a chance if they want to do that. And then the Sabres, who played last night, and they played.
They got a point, though. So they only missed Lindy's plan by 2 points.
Okay.
So you just got to make that up with another win in the next segment. That's all you got to do.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
And then you have to be on pace every other segment of games, and then your 3-game win streak at the end. So, are they going to be in last place till the end of the season?
No, Pittsburgh should finish behind them. The Penguins are a lot worse than them.
They've been worse than them for a while, though, and the Sabres have been in last place since mid-December.
Yeah.
And there's not been a single day where they haven't been. And they get a point last night. They are 4 points back of the Penguins. They do have, as like you look at the advanced numbers, they're better. But they also have 4 games in hand on Pittsburgh. So maybe they'll catch one of these teams that's ahead of them. Or maybe they'll be in last place until the very end of the season, and then they're going to be the fourth best lottery odds.
You know, It's really too bad there's not a guy that's supposed to be drafted number one overall that people could yell at us for saying, you know what, we should hope they lose. Because we should hope they lose. We should want them to lose. That's
but there isn't that guy.
There isn't that guy. And there isn't that guy number two overall, which was the reason that it was really worth doing all that way back when.
Yeah.
That guy was good, too. You know, people yelled an awful lot. I thought at 3-0, Joe, I thought, I'm getting snarky early. At 3-0, I thought last night's game was going to be the kind of loss where it was so bad that people tweeted me to blame the tank. Those are the real bad losses. Those are the, when somebody's like, you know what, you know, your fault, because 10 years ago, you did something. I thought it was going to be that bad. But they rallied, they came back. The real reason they lost this game, there's a couple. I mean, penalties are one of them. But we're going to be introducing a new segment to the show. And for it, Owen Parker is here, our new senior goalie correspondent.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I mean,
so you're running the you're running the YouTube feed a lot for us.
Yes,
you're moderating comments. You're doing a lot of stuff, and we're going to, of course, bring you on more often. But senior goalie correspondent, having played a lot of goalie in your life.
Yeah, I have some experience, that's
yes,
for sure.
Yes, and I have a buddy, Chris, who is he's played like soccer goalie for a while, but I mean like rec leagues and whatever. And whenever there's a goal in the Premier League, I'll text him and I'll say, hey, as a goalie, should that guy have gotten that?
As a goalie.
As a goalie. So this segment will be as a goalie.
How many people text you with the beginning as a goalie?
Oh, I get a lot of those texts, and especially on a night like last night.
Okay. That's why we have you on, because I feel like a lot of people are going to be really mad at the Sabres for a lot of reasons, but as a goalie, last night, Owen.
Oof. There's not a whole lot you can do as the Sabres as a goalie last night to see a guy go in and just... Reimer, like, I give him credit. He's one of those guys. There are often players that look a little janky as they're playing the position, especially goaltenders. It's such a unique, personalized sort of job. And guys really struggle with, I think, looking wacky and still making saves and getting discredited for looking wacky.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was not last night with James Reimer. He was a disaster last night.
Just all over the place. Just
sloppy.
His tracking was all off. You could see his eyes were not on the puck. He's letting, like, just that overtime goal is just horrible.
It's low. Is it even along the ice and short side?
It's just a short side shot from that off wing is the one save you need to make 10 out of 10 times.
I was going
to
say, I heard Dan even say this on the broadcast. That shot placement is never existing.
No. But,
so, like, maybe the defense, I don't even know if this is defense, though, is you would never expect the shooter to place the puck there, but the reason the shooter would never place the puck there is because you should never let that in.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that is a spot that you should have accidentally covered with three different parts of your body. Like, that is the kind of situation we're talking about there. Like, you see him cheat into the inside, and sure, it's an unexpected shot placement. Frankly, I'm kind of shocked the guy put it there. Because you would never expect to score there. He might have been looking to pop one out to the middle.
Yeah.
And it just ended up getting right by him.
Yeah. All right. Well, you've had a lot of experience playing goal, coaching goal. Did I text you? No. I texted you if your microphone worked. I didn't actually text you the question. The first goal, I know it's power play. I was ready for someone to call me mad at Owen Power today. But
yeah.
He just
you got a track,
right?
I'm not a goalie. I feel like that's why I wanted to talk to you today and have you be our new senior goalie correspondent. Because on the first goal, in theory, there will be a time where this matters. You know, maybe this isn't the time, but whatever.
Might and well it probably would be someone that isn't James Reimer, who's 36 years
and,
old.
And not trying to get after Reimer too much, but the first goal, then the second goal. The third goal goes off Clifton, but is that Reimer not committing to the poke check? Like it felt
that like- is what that is a goalie that's having a bad night can't get a lucky one.
Okay,
either. That is where you start getting into goaltending is voodoo, and you're having a bad night, and you have a really bad night, and a puck goes in off Connor Clifton's stick off a centering pass that you just can't do anything about, and it doesn't hit you on accident.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that piles on, but often is all a mental grind after you give up one of those early ones where you know you're swimming.
Mm-hmm.
You will not make one of those saves that you shouldn't make after that. It's way too difficult to stay in the game mentally after knowing that wasn't good and then another one that wasn't good and now you're swimming.
Mm-hmm. How much do you care about as a goalie? Segment is as a goalie. Like expected goals. Well, does that mean anything to you?
This is an interesting conversation because I think as goaltenders, your goal obviously is to stop every shot. And so expected goals is, you know, high danger chances, high priority opportunities for the other team. That, as a goaltender, you want those shots almost more than anything because that's your opportunity to make a difference. And if they're harder shots, yes, you're going to stop less of them, yes. But when you're having a good night, those are your opportunities to swing the game your way. And that's where the goaltender comes into play. And that's where he didn't come into play last night. Yeah. And then on those lower expected goals chances, he still didn't come into play.
Yeah, that's the one thing about like expected goals. You could have a great night, you give up one bad one, all of a sudden like your number balloons because you gave up one that was a freebie. Because expected goals at naturalstattrick.com, the Sabres had an expected goals of 6.3 and Montreal was 2.5. And that's power play and everything.
I was going to say, that's not 5-on-5,
that's
right?
Everything. Okay, yeah. Everything. Montreal was an expected goals at 2.5, and the Sabres were 6.3. They lose this game. And, you know, it's never – I feel like it can be an unsatisfying response as a fan to say, what's gone wrong this season? And you say, your goalies have let you down. But is that true of Lukanen, too, as a goalie, in your mind?
Lukanen, for sure, right? Because I remember talking to you last year. We were in the suite. And we were talking about Lukanen and how I think you told me like he'd been sitting in the net deeper, like he had been playing the position differently, and he was getting better results.
Yes.
And then this year, maybe he's doing the same thing, but his results have reverted back to what he was doing.
I have seen more of that, those habits from those first few years where he will overslide on pucks, over pursue, and it just takes him out of his net. And I can relate even more to him than I can almost anybody else because of our the size thing. Like, I'm 6'6".
Right.
He's a big guy. Those goaltenders, the kind of goalies that he is and that I was, you cannot get outside the frame of your net and chase. And that is where you run into problems. You overtrack. You lose the play. You stop reading future plays. And you end up getting behind, and you give up goals that you shouldn't give up. Stuff gets through you, especially as a bigger guy. Your holes are bigger. Mm-hmm. It just gets that much harder. And I have seen with Lukanen, it looks like he looks jumpier. Last year, I think he looked a lot more calm. He looked more comfortable in his net, and he just stayed with more plays. And if you look back at the last game that Lukanen had played, there were a couple where he was in the corner sliding. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is a sign to me of a goalie that is chasing it. And he's looking, he's fighting for it. And it's just, he's way out of his depth right now. Not out of his depth. That's a poor way to put it. I think that he's not feeling comfortable in his net. If that could be because the team in front of him is playing a different way, that's a little more stressful for him. He's got to do a little more.
Yeah.
Things change like that. Those little minutia of the game can really throw off a goalie. And I think I've seen some of that with Lukanen this year.
We're talking with our new senior goaltending correspondent, Owen Parker. You may know him as Giant Goalie Son, Bulldogs Giant Goalie Son. He runs our YouTube feed. He's here, and we got to use his expertise here. So let's just keep going. Let's make it a goaltending segment. All right, we've touched on Reimer's night. We've touched on Lukanen's year. How about Levi? Levi, AHL Goaltender of the Month. Just got that honor. He's having an unbelievable season down there. Every time he goes down there, he is Iron Man.
Yes.
And then he comes up here, and it doesn't go well. So when you watch Levi, what do you see from him that could possibly explain what the difference is? Other than just the talent, because – I don't know, and for me, it's hard to believe that you could be that great and then struggle that much just with the jump. Is it more time that's needed?
I absolutely think he needs to cook down there. He needs to get to a place where he mentally, when he comes back up here, it's not a big deal to him. That's what it needs to be. It'll always be a big deal for everybody else. For him, it needs to be, all right, I've done what I need to do. I've done the work that I've needed to do, and now I'm going to go out and just do my thing. Whereas I think when he came in early, especially that first year where he came in, it was so great. And there's so much adrenaline in that, and there's so much energy. And that is not sustainable over a full year. And I think that's where we kind of saw that drop off with him in the NHL, is where you can't have that every night and be at that level every night mentally. You need to be comfortable and confident at a lower wavelength and be even keeled, easy to deal with. Like, you can't get so excited, like, this is my shot. I'm back in the big show. Here we go. I'm good. Let's roll.
Yeah.
It's got to be, all right, I've done the work. I've cooked. I've can do this. I've proved I can do this. These guys trust me. I'm just going to go do my thing.
Well, because of his size, doesn't he have to be almost technically perfect compared to guys that are going to be 4 inches bigger than him?
Absolutely.
When he shows up?
He is because of his size, at a disadvantage in terms of he's not going to make accidental saves. He's every save he makes has to be purposeful and with intent.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Lukanen or Omark, like we've seen, will get hit with pucks a lot more without really maybe doing the right things and processing things the way he needs to. Whereas with Levi, he comes up and he's one tick jumpy, and that will be that one tick that you get one more goal in, that's one more loss, and that's, you know, that's it. You're back down to the AHL.
Yep.
And he needs to get to a place where he knows, I've been doing this at this level, at the professional level against men for 2 years. I'm good at it. I've got a 915 save percentage or whatever it is.
It's 920 now, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's climbing by the day.
Exactly. And you know, great. Keep it that way. Keep going and get comfortable in that position. Come up here and don't let anything change.
Yeah.
I think we saw him get excited, and it's hard not to. And I'm sure he had a lot of purpose in, I don't want to be that. I don't want that to happen. But it's impossible to avoid. At that age, at that position, there's so much pressure. It's just, there's way too much going on. He's got to, that's why you don't see guys that young succeed at this level.
Yeah. I'm thinking about franchise quarterback stuff, you know, like you go in there and you're just swimming. Yep. And it's not until you're comfortable or cool that you actually kind of figure that all out.
Yep.
So let him cook down there. Meanwhile, the Sabres, you know, they're what they are. So, all right.
Exactly.
Thanks, Owen.
No problem.
Senior goaltending correspondent.
Let's go.
Owen Parker joining us. He wasn't on the actual camera because we might need him another camera or two in here.
He's also operating the camera right. in there, so when he's in here, yeah,
that's right.
We all need a remote. Yeah.
The bullpen has referred to him as the bullpen secretary of goaltending.
All right, bullpen secretary of goaltending. There we go. Official secretary of goaltending. I don't mind that. It's like a cabinet position.
Man of many titles.
Seriously, if you don't have goalie friends in your life, because you know how it works, it's never a goalie's fault. Publicly, the team in front of him is going to always say this and this and this, and then the coach might once in a while, which Lindy did last night, say, like, you know, sometimes you need a save.
Yeah,
that's why reaching out to goalie friends is key. Like, all right, as a goalie, I feel like he should have made that save. And if your goalie friend says yes, like, okay, I'm gonna say that on Twitter. I'm gonna say that on the radio. He played a lot of goal. He says that should have been a save.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a pitch play to Cook. Dives, reaches for the end zone, and he's got it! He is in for the touchdown! What an amazing effort by Cook, who is back in the kitchen!
James Cook. He took note of the Saquon Barkley extension yesterday and big money going to Barkley. Worth pointing out, we got into it a little early this morning, Barkley's percentage of the cap is second in the NFL behind McCaffrey. So while he's biggest money in contract history, it's actually second in percentage of cap. McCaffrey got a bigger deal last year.
From when they signed.
From when they signed. Right. That happens all the time. There's going to be a receiver that signs. T. Higgins is going to get the second biggest contract in history at receiver, maybe, if he does hit the free agent market, which He'd have to sign his franchise. But you know what I'm getting at. And it will be like ninth all time in percentage of cap.
Yeah.
So that's how it usually goes. We got numbers on the Shakir deal, but we want to talk about James Cook.
So he tweeted four times yesterday.
Yeah.
Four times. The first was the eyeball emojis.
In the words of Zach Jones of the Extra Point Show and the Nightcap, he's tweeting like a wide receiver. He's making. He's going.
Well, we were told to think of him like a wide receiver once upon a time. So you know, what? You know
we were told to think of him like a pass catcher. That's right. He is a pass, and he is one.
Yeah. So eyeball emoji over the first Schefter tweet about Barkley signing a deal. Then over the Pat McAfee comment about the average per year, it's him with the shrug emoji. Right. Mm-hmm. Then it's more. Now it's Ian Rappaport talking about the Barkley deal, and Cook quote tweets that with good business.
Mm.
Space, then exclamation point. I don't think that's meaningful.
Hold on.
Just let me dig into that. I noticed that.
The space before the exclamation point.
Yeah. Might just be poor punctuation on his part.
No.
He wants you to see the exclamation point.
Yes,
it stands
right
out a little bit more when you separate it from
that's
the word.
That's right. He's saying he appreciates good business to the point where he's going to leave space.
Yeah.
For the ex. Anyway, go ahead.
And then he quote tweets NFL Network's video saying, "Payday for Saquon Barkley with 'I love you, Buffalo, red heart, blue heart.'"
And think about that.
And that was the end of his series of tweets.
Imagine for a moment you see a. If I put it this way, if I see a story, a tweet, anything, and I screenshot it or quote tweet it to my wife and say, "Love you, honey," with that, whatever I. She's going to think, what do you mean by this? What's this? Am I supposed to buy this for you? Is this what you want? Right? That's how this works. By quote tweeting Saquon Barkley's big contract and saying, "I love you, Buffalo," mm-hmm. That's him saying, this is what I want. This is what I want for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
The sacred, I sent you a link for what I want. That's "I love you, Buffalo." Let me tell you what I would do if I was Brandon Bean in this spot, right?
Yeah.
I would go to my ex Twitter account. And I would click on profile. How do you get to mute? If I were Brandon Bean, yeah. I would mute James Cook, and I would mute the words James Cook, and I would not pay attention to any of it.
Mm-hmm.
None of it. Couple reasons. One, you don't have to.
Yeah.
You have my number, man. You can call me. Your agent can call me. Maybe your agent's calling me every day. The Bills... It's the same story with a lot of this stuff. This is true with Diggs. It's true with everything. You don't have to pay attention to any of this. You don't have to care about anything that somebody writes on the internet about a contract.
Or who he's following on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because that was out there too a couple weeks ago.
How far off is what Cook's doing? How far off is that from wishing someone a happy birthday on Facebook? Like, you could just call the person. You could just, "I've got your number."
Uh-huh.
And for Cook, I don't think he's going to get 15. I don't want the Bills to pay him 15. I do think he is a very dynamic player and a very good player, and he is potentially ready to step into one of the best backs in the league. And again, that's a credit to Joe Brady. Like, what the Bills offense has built
mm-hmm.
is an offense that gets results from a couple players and doesn't get results from others. But Cook and Shakir are the two that really flourish under Joe Brady.
Yep.
And the six offensive linemen and the way they run the football and the way that Cook gets to the second level and he's gone. Didn't Cook have the second? You had numbers on this. Average length of touchdown?
Yeah.
Saquon was 30 yards and Cook was maybe the second.
Saquon was number one by a lot, and then maybe Cook was second. I got to look that up again. But he was not just piling up. Jamal Williams was this a couple years ago. He had the most touchdowns rushing in the NFL.
It was all 1 yarders.
They were all from the 1 yard line. And I remember looking at the numbers that year and seeing he had like 40 carries from inside the five. It's like the guy, it was completely fake how many touchdowns he had scored. Whereas Cook, right, like Cook is averaging 16 yards a touchdown.
That's nuts.
So yeah, he had a couple from inside the one, but then he had four from the 40. He had a couple from 20 yards out. Like, he was not just a merchant of goal line touches.
He and Barkley have something in common where they're the backs on the team that doesn't need them on the tush push, doesn't need them at the goal line.
Right. And another team, well, on another team, maybe he doesn't get as many scoring opportunities, but, you know, if the Bills had a different mentality, if McDermott said before the year, "We're not doing tush push, injury risk, I don't want to put Allen through that, so we're just going to give the ball to James." instead of doing tush pushes at the 1 and the 2 yard line. He might have scored 25 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
Right? Allen, he scored 16 with Allen scoring double digits the way he did. I think he's a good player.
I think he's a very good player.
All that being said, like I feel like every day that's passing, I am more and more team. Just, yeah, let it go into the season. Don't even talk to him.
Yeah.
And maybe that's happening. I mean, maybe his Twitter activity is not negotiating the media. Maybe it's waving his hands at the Bills saying, hey, I'm over here. You're not paying any attention to me. Maybe the Bills don't want to. Maybe the Bills... It wouldn't be stunning to me if their attitude, despite how they talk about him, would be, yeah, we just want him to play out the final year of his contract, and we'll just take it as it goes. Yeah, next year we'll do something, but like maybe they have no interest in even talking about it this summer. That wouldn't be stunning.
And then you could franchise tag with the interest of signing a deal. That's what Dallas just did with that defensive tackle. He was franchise tagged.
Diggy Zua. Yeah.
Diggy Zua. He was tagged. And then he signed a deal that was, hey, listen, all right, we got this baseline. If we don't come to a deal, you get 1 year, $13 million, whatever, for Cook, the franchise tag. But let's talk. That's a good starting point. Where they are now, he makes very little. So, okay, we don't even have to guarantee you the $13 million on the franchise tag. My guess is the Bills are coming in a lot lower because from a leverage standpoint, Cook just doesn't really have any. So I'm not against keeping Cook. I'm not against paying him a good number. I'm not going to 20. I don't think the Eagles should have paid Barkley. I'm also the one out here with my hand up saying, I'm not trying to tell you Saquon Barkley is overrated or not that good, but I do think his effect on the Eagles has been overrated. They were in the Super Bowl 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They've been good the whole time.
They also won the Super Bowl with him doing, he was terrible in the game.
In part because the Chiefs focused on stopping him.
Yeah, okay, right.
That's great. Like he was important. I'm not trying to tell you anything other than that, but If the Eagles had to go into a playoff game without one of two players, A.J. Brown or Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown would be a much bigger loss. They did not lose a game this year that Brown and Jalen Hurts played. Yeah. Brown is their more important player. I would not have paid Saquon Barkley $20 million if I'm the Eagles, but whatever, that's me. Derrick Henry had just as good a year as Saquon. He was amazing.
He's on the books for $7 million, I saw this year.
$7
million? $7 million. I mean, he might get a pay raise.
He might. So I wouldn't worry about Cook. I would mute the stuff on Twitter. I would not bother with it.
But as Joe Marino pointed out earlier in the day anyway on our show, he's not those guys.
Yeah.
He is not Barkley. He is maybe, I think he's a great runner. I think he has developed into a great runner. His vision is awesome. He's gotten a lot faster, I think, since the beginning of his career. He's more powerful than at the beginning. He creates yards after contact more than you would think for his body type. He beats guys to the edge. He can run away from them. He has great vision. Always seems to make the right decision on that front. So as a runner, I got check, check, check. But he's not on the field all the time. And the reasons for that, when you're not as good of a pass blocker, or when I can't have you on the field on my final drive of the season because I've got to go tie the game against, I got to go take the lead against Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, and you can't be on the field because I can't trust you to pick up a blitzer, that should come secondary for who your starting running back is, I think. But I'm going to pay you with that hole in your game. And it hasn't gotten any better. He came into the league with that deficiency, and they still don't trust him to do it.
Right, and some guys are great at it. Like, I can remember we would tweet out highlights of Bijan picking up pass protection because
he's
like a dog. That's how you go 7th or 8th overall. So, okay, you can do it all.
And I'm not meaning to say that means he shouldn't be their starting running back. I don't want to pay him $15 million a year, though. And like Joe said earlier, I've got to have another guy now.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have another guy that's good at what he does, because the Eagles, their second guy, it doesn't really matter how good he is. They'll just plug in whoever and figure it out. Barkley's going to be the dude in every situation. And McCaffrey is that for San Francisco. Jacobs is that for Green Bay. Like, a lot of the high-paid running backs are that. And Cook is a guy that has a deficiency, so he should come in the second tier.
I also, it's not lost on me when people say, well, considering you don't have great receivers, Cook is your most explosive player, and that makes him more important. I agree with that. I don't think that's how I want to live, where my most explosive player is my running back. I don't think I want that. But that is the case right now. And he is very good. So, whatever. It's not a pressing issue. They don't have to fix it right now. They can extend him. Shakir got his extension. Bernard could get one. Benford could get one. Rousseau could get one. Cook could get one. And I feel like Cook is maybe the least pressing of them because he is a franchise tag candidate. And if he's going to sit out, like, okay, the team will still be good. Running backs don't really win when they sit out. The team is about the same. I think he's a running back is a finishing piece to an offense. That's what Barkley was to the Eagles for me, was they're already good to great, and he brings them to be more threatening and get other teams to think about him more. And for Cook, I like him a lot, but I wouldn't worry about it.
And I would like to know how much the Bills are really willing to kind of test him, to kind of push him. Because if this were Madden and I were be a GM and I'm the Bills, I know exactly what I would do. I would not pay him. I would let him play year four on his rookie contract, and then I would franchise tag him. Mm-hmm. And I would play him that year, and then he'd be 28 years old, and I'd walk away. That's exactly what I would do. Yep. And to me, just take the person out of it, that seems to me to be the best course of action.
That might be the best course of action financially. The question is, do the Bills care about how the rest of the players feel about you treat James Cook?
Yeah, because if you do that, maybe that doesn't sit well with certain guys. It's not typically how they do business in general.
Right.
They've earned the reputation they have as an organization probably because they don't do things like that.
Right.
That's a very cold way to approach this situation. I think it's just, in their own minds right now, we're going to play him in year four, then we're going to tag him. Basically, we're going to hold him hostage for 2 years. He wants to get paid now, and we're not even going to tell him this, but in our own minds, we're never paying him.
Yeah.
And we're going to keep him from getting paid because by the time he's 28, like, teams are going to know that his market value is not as high at that point when he's a little older.
Yep. 803-0550, if you want to chime in on this. Cook, what to do there? Well,
I did look at it. He's selling merch now, too.
James Cook?
He's got a T-shirt, playoff Jimbo. He had one good playoff Jimbo. You can also buy a video message from James Cook, so he's going in. I mean, we got the horn ready. Blow the horn. It is a day. It is a day in this offseason. The wide receiver train is back, and more importantly, the bullet train. The speed train. Here we go. We got two ideas, actually, yesterday, really, right? Maybe you could say more than that. There was a lot of, Josh has had it all in the update. How much of that update did you just have that was NFL? Like, all of it?
Pretty much
except
all of
it. Except the Sabres playing tonight?
Yeah, pretty much all of it. There were three wide receivers released yesterday. Two wide receivers released, one requested a trade.
Right. And we'll get to Metcalf on this. One given permission to seek a trade. Come on. Already a step beyond where the Myles Garrett stuff is at. You had Christian Kirk that was released. You had Tyler Lockett that was released. Just to go through those guys very quickly, maybe we'll revisit them. If you got a thought on them, feel free, 803-0550. Lockett, no go for me. Lockett is older at this point. I've liked that player for a long time. There was a middle period there between Cole Beasley and Khalil Shakir last year where I would have really liked Lockett in this offense. Lockett, way more than Beasley, is a slot receiver. Lockett's a slot guy. And more than even Shakir, can give you vertical from the slot. He had speed and he had downfield speed. So while he was a slot guy, we were not talking about a dink and dunk, screens, short passes over the middle and watch him go. Like, he was, I'm going to run up the seam, test your safeties, and I'm going to make big plays. And sure, like most receivers, he does play on the outside a bit. And last year, actually, he did that on a more full-time basis. Now, if you look back at his recent years before that, it's more evenly split, slot versus out wide. But last year, Lockett, 544 snaps on the outside, 215 snaps on the inside. Why? Because they had Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who loves to line up inside, and he's their best, He's the best overall receiver. It's pretty close. Him and Metcalf are both great. Smith and Jigba had a huge year last year. If you didn't watch a lot of him, like he's taken massive steps. But Lockett last year, he's playing primarily on the outside, and what was it, 600 yards? You know, at 33 years old, I'm just not thinking there's much value left there anymore, for the Bills at least. Christian Kirk was photographed with Josh Allen 10 hours before he was cut. He was at Allen's bachelor party. They have been very close. Allen and was at Kirk's wedding, or Allen and Kirk were groomsmen in a wedding, whatever. They've been to weddings together, because I've seen the photos of that. They go on golf trips. Like, when Allen goes on golf trips, you follow him on Instagram and you kind of track like what his off seasons are like. I've noticed from his Instagram a couple of different golf trips where, who are the three guys he takes with him? The three guys that Allen goes on golf trips with that I've seen the most. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Kincaid, Knox, like there are Bills teammates that he'll do this with too. But I always see Sam Darnold, Kyle Allen, former Bills backup in Pittsburgh last year, and Christian Kirk. Those are the three amigos that Josh brings with him on these golf trips. Christian Kirk is one of them. And he was photographed with Allen 10 hours before he was released. I don't know, you know, what their bachelor party plans were. Did it extend into yesterday? But was Allen with him when he was cut? Was Allen with Kirk when he was released? Because, man, just imagine, just, you know, you're with your buddy and he becomes available. He looks down at his phone and you're just hanging out. Maybe you're recovering from the night before and he's like, man, it's got caught by the Jaguars. And Josh is sitting there in the couch. What do you think the first thing he says to you is? Just maybe gives you the eyes, like, huh? Come on to Buffalo.
Darn.
Yeah, right. Like you're probably messing around with them, even if you're not serious. But come on, they're talking about the idea of him playing for the Buffalo Bills. I don't know that means it has to happen, though. Right? Just because Allen wants a guy, it doesn't mean there's a fit. Even just because Allen likes a guy, maybe Kirk doesn't like the weather. You know, he's played in Arizona and Jacksonville. So, I don't know what his motivation would be either. So, I wouldn't just assume, oh, he's friends with Allen, he'll be a Buffalo Bill. But the fact that there is that friendship makes me want to watch it, at least. And that's the only reason why I might want to watch it. Because, kind of like Metcalf, or like Lockett, excuse me, kind of like Lockett, Kirk is probably at his best in the slot. He is pretty fast and has played on the outside in his career, but you kind of have to go back to like the 2020 season. You got to go back 4 or 5 years to find the last time he was really playing full time on the outside. Some of that, though, could be situation, circumstance, right? Like he played a lot of slot in Jacksonville. Why do you think that was, especially last year? Well, who are their other receivers? Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis plays one spot. He plays the X, and he doesn't really move to the inside. You're not moving him around a lot. Brian Thomas Jr., an amazing outside vertical threat the second he showed up. You're not going to want to move him inside too often. So, Kirk, why does he play the slot last year? Because the other two good receivers on his team were outside guys. And maybe that's kind of the last couple of years in Jacksonville. Why does he play on the inside in Arizona in 2020, or all the way around? Why is he playing the outside in Arizona in 2020? They had Andy Isabella, Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald at the end was a slot receiver, and so was Isabella, and that's in that rookie season that he had. So, all right, Kirk plays in the outside. He did fine. Nothing crazy, nothing spectacular, but pretty good. So, would they think they can make that work? I just, though, don't want to see the Bills any longer sell me, sell the fans, sell anybody on, oh, it's our problems on the outside can be solved by a guy that you're used to being good in the slot, but oh no, he could kick outside and do that too. There's a difference between being able to play on the outside at wide receiver and being good at it. Being great at it, even. And You've got Shakir that's been this. You've got Samuel that's been this a little bit. And if you want to include Kincaid, the Bills are flush with slot receivers. Flush with it. They do not need another one at all. They have got all those snaps locked up. If Samuel were to stay healthy and Kincaid were to stay healthy, they do not need another body to play meaningful snaps in that spot. It's more we continue to specialize different positions on offense, and I think this is one area where we almost need to start calling them different positions. Like, consistently. Like, no, not even list them this way. Like, I almost feel like Shakir shouldn't be listed as WR when you pull up his Pro Football Reference page. I think it should say SR. They really are very different positions. Very different roles, responsibilities, different skill sets, body types. I'm looking for a WR if I'm the Bills, not an SR. And I think if SR existed in an official capacity, you'd pull up Lockett, you'd pull up Kirk, and it would say SR next to their name. And I need a WR. And that is DK Metcalf. That is DK Metcalf. I don't know that you could find a better receiver. You could find a better receiver. You know, if Jamar Chase were to kick loose, right? Chase is a little bit of everything. There are better receivers than DK Metcalf. Is he not absolutely perfect for what the Bills are looking for and what they need? Isn't he perfect as a player? Before I get into the money of it and the cost of it in a trade, just the player. You plug in blank into the Bills offense, and how does it look? How does it fill a need? Metcalf, what the Bills need is they need speed on an elite level, and they need it vertically. They need somebody that can scare people down the field, that can get open down the field, so that every time Josh Allen wants to throw the ball deep, which, by the way, he did the third most in the NFL last year, third most deep ball attempts in football last year, in an offense that you thought you remembered being kind of dink and dunk, but screens and over the, you know, short stuff over the middle, it really wasn't. It was more successful doing the shorter stuff because every time Allen threw the ball down the field, the guy was pretty much tightly covered. Most times. Metcalf's going to give you a lot more opportunity with a guy running open down the field. The speed is just, it's perfect. It's exactly what the Bills need. He is a better all-around receiver than I think he was being made out to be when he entered the NFL. When he was drafted, I mean, it was, look at this Greek god with this, you know, picture with all the muscles, and he looks like, you know, Mr. Universe, and he's got elite speed, but he didn't do a ton in college, so is this a tools guy? And then he shows up to the combine, and he ran really fast in the 40, but the three-cone drill. It was that one drill. The three-cone drill that spooked a lot of people. That is that drill is about quickness and stop and go, and it felt like a pretty valuable drill for the wide receiver position. And he tested horribly at it, like all-time bad. This is, here's your stat of the day, and this is 100% true. DK Metcalf, his three-cone drill, the time that he ran was at the 2019 NFL Combine. DK Metcalf's three-cone drill came out at 7.38 seconds. Okay? Spencer Brown, Bills right tackle Spencer Brown, who is 6'9", 320 pounds, ran a 6.96 three-cone drill. Spencer Brown ran a faster three-cone drill than DK Metcalf did, and he kind of easily did. 0.4 of a second in that drill. Seems like a good amount. So that spooked everybody. Metcalf at the combine spooked him. And I think the reason why was, oh, this guy's going to be a one-trick pony. He's only going to be able to run straight. He's only going to be able to run by guys. And that is definitely the best thing that he does. But he is a more complete receiver than that. He does it all. He runs all the routes. Is he elite at running all the routes? No, but he can do it. He can do it well, I would even say, that he can run all the routes. The other thing is he beats man coverage. And that's the thing the Bills didn't have last year. That's the one thing Diggs was elite at that none of these other Bills receivers really since, you know, John Brown was good at it too. That separation in a man coverage situation. Think of Brown against Stephon Gilmore in Foxborough, one of the first kind of viral Josh Allen touchdown passes. There's not many of those receivers that have been great in those environments. Last year, they didn't really have one. And Metcalf is that too. So I got speed. I've got size if the Bills want it, right? Like, they like that. They like their blocking in a wide receiver. And go look up blocking highlights of DK Metcalf. There are clips of him just running through people, blocking them into the stands. So if that's important to the Bills, check. 6'4", 235 pounds. This is not your little speed guy. This is a big guy that can run. Chasing down Buda Baker from behind at like 100 miles an hour. Last year in the NFL, so Metcalf did not have a huge target share. It was about the same as Shakir, actually. Shakir has 100 targets on the year. Metcalf had 108. And most years, you know, there's 119, there's a 141 in there, 129, 129. Like, he's that second-level receiver. He is not getting targets like, you know, Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase are, but he's right below that. Where he does lead the league was deep targets. Last year, he had the most deep targets in the NFL. Passes that traveled 20-plus yards in the air. He had 32 of them. He caught half of them for 489 yards and 5 touchdowns. So, we're talking, you know, more than 10 yards a target every time they target him deep down the field. So, an effective receiver. His PFF grade on deep passing was a 99.9. 99.9. Terry McLaurin, and it looks like Jaden Reed were the receivers that had a perfect score from Pro Football Focus last year when running down the field. I don't know, though, how you can... I guess it's not a perfect score. Right, because he only caught 16 of 32. What happens if he caught 32 of 32? I guess he'd be 100 then. But anyways, they gave him a perfect grade by their accounts, 99.9. Does it need to be any more sales pitch? It's a great idea. It is less about the player. To me, there is no debate about the player. His fit in this offense, what the Bills like in a receiver, like to me, there isn't a debate about that. It's more about... And we'll get into this next. You got a phone call. You got a thought on this. Feel free to call us at 803-0550. The thing to debate is not the player. It is it a good idea? Do we think the Bills are ready to just line up again and pay a wide receiver huge money? $30 million a year or more? Do we think they have the appetite to go back to that position after a year of everybody eats and say, oh yeah, we want a number one and pay him big time? The price of the trade is worth a debate, and whether or not it stops you from the big pass rusher idea. Do you not want to go for Metcalf because you're worried that takes me out of the Myles Garrett run, or that takes me, there's no more Max Crosby. Max Crosby signs an extension. But it takes me out of the Myles Garrett sweepstakes, and maybe it takes me out of some top-level free agent because I got to pay Metcalf.